I'll read from text 209. Kamagandahina swapapika gopi prem nirmala ujvala shuddha yena dagdahim. The natural love of the gopis is devoid of any trace of lust. It is faultless, bright and pure, like molten gold. Krishna shahaya guru bandhava prayasi gopika hayena priya shisha shakidasi. The gopis are the helpers, teachers, friends, wives, dear disciples, confidants, and serving maids of Lord Krishna. Saha Guru Vishisha Bhujisa Panda Sriya Satyam Radam Iparta Gopyam Kemme Bhavantina. This verse is spoken by Lord Krishna in the Gopi Prem Amrit. O Parta, I speak to you the truth. The gopis are my helpers, teachers, disciples, servants, friends, and consorts. I do not know what they are not to me. Gopika janina krishnera manavanchita prema seva paripati ishta samhihita. The gopis know Krishna's desires and they know how to render perfect loving service for his enjoyment. They perform their services expertly for the satisfaction of their beloved. Manmahatyam mat sarpai parayam mat shratatam manmanogatam janati gopika parta nanni jananti tatmata. This verse is spoken by Lord Krishna to Arjuna in the Adipurana. O Parta, the gopis know my greatness, my loving service, respect for me, and my mentality. Others cannot really know of these. Se gopika namadi uttam radhika rupiko nishubhagi prema savadika. Hey, Radha Gopinanda Juki. Among all the gopis, Srimati Radhika is the foremost. She surpasses all in beauty, in good qualities, in good fortune, and above all, in love. Purport. Among all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most exalted. She is the most beautiful, the most qualified, and above all, the greatest lover of Krishna. Om Akyanti Mirandasya Janan Janan Shalakayo Takshur Minatanti Natashmaya Shri Jaya Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shiva Shri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Ram, Hare Hare. So here, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is pointing out the greatness of Srimati Radharani, who has the greatest love for Krishna. And her friends. Krishna says, I do not know what they are not to me. They are, in other words, they are everything for Krishna. So, Krishna is, or Srimati Radharani in the Brahma Samhita, it's described Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pravita Vita Bija Even Jirupataya Kalabi Goloka Even Nivasatiya Kilatma Bhuta Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Jami. that these Srimati Radharani is the dearest lover of Krishna, being his internal pleasure potency. And to increase that pleasure, she expands unlimitedly into unlimited billions and billions of gopis, each with separate moods and separate attitudes, simply to satisfy the desires of Krishna. So it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the explanation of the Shikshastikam prayers, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the last prayers expressing this sentiment of Srimati Radharani and her friends and her service attitude towards Krishna. That because Krishna is known to be very fond of young girls, and according to his mood and sentiment, which is always changes, then he sometimes becomes attracted to a particular quality of one particular gopika. And when Radharani sees this, then she says, I may personally go to that girl and take her to Krishna. Even they're acting as rivals. They're all actually expansions of Srimati Radharani, the internal potency. And they are acting, some of them are acting as rivals, but even then, if she sees that Krishna is particularly attracted at some particular time by some particular gopi, she says, I do not hesitate to go and take that personality to Krishna for his pleasure. So this is Srimati Radharani's position. She's the her only business is Krishna's pleasure. She has no other desire or ambition except to satisfy Krishna. And this example is given in the Rasleela episode when Krishna was going to perform the Maharas, and Srimati Radharani disappeared at that time. So immediately Krishna disappeared to look for her. And then all the other gopis got upset why Krishna is gone. So they all went to search for him, and they came to the conclusion when they saw the footprints that, oh, Krishna's come and he's met someone else. And out of billions of gopis, he's left us to go with one gopi. Who is this? We're all highly qualified. But who is this this gopi girl who he has taken and gone alone with? So they were a little bit envious at first. And so they decided, they went to search for Krishna. And eventually, they had found that Srimati Radharani was left alone. Krishna had taken her, and then suddenly Krishna had disappeared. And she was actually thinking, that she was so fortunate, especially fortunate that Krishna had taken her alone. But after some time she began to think of her friends. What about all my friends? They can't be here with Krishna. And so then Krishna disappeared from the situation. And Srimati Radharani was thrown into a great whirlpool of delusion and separation from Krishna. And then eventually the gopis found her. But when they saw her exalted state of loving separation from Krishna, it was so deep that they realized that they were actually insignificant. The love they had for Krishna was insignificant compared to hers. So then they actually became felt sorry for Radharani when the whole situation had happened. So yeah, then eventually, finally, Krishna appears again. And they're a little bit angry with him. And rebuking him. And the anyway, after that, after that whole situation had finished, and again Krishna, then they began the rasa dance, and then they understood one of the whole reasons behind this plot was that Srimati Radharani was thinking that there were many new gopis were coming to join. This was the first time they had joined. They were coming from the material world and had perfected their lives and now had joined the Krishna's eternal pastimes. Now Krishna was going to perform the Maharasa. They had an opportunity to directly dance with Krishna because Krishna would expand himself. And but Srimati Radharani thought some of these, because they're a little bit new, then when they see me and Krishna in the center and everyone's dancing around, they may be a little bit jealous that why Krishna is in the center with Radharani, and because we're also fully qualified. So they may get a little bit that jealousy may be there because this is the first time they're coming. And the mood may not be proper. And Krishna's been waiting a long time for this Maharas. He was anxious to perform this for a whole year, actually. And so if the mood is not proper, then Krishna, he won't be able to enjoy fully. So Radharani was thinking of Krishna's, only of Krishna's greatest pleasure. If they're a little bit jealous, then the mood won't be proper. So therefore that whole Leela, she disappears, Krishna disappears. The gopis see Radharani's exalted position and realize their love is like a mustard seed in comparison to Srimati Radharani's. So when finally they all reassemble, then they're having a Maharas and everybody's seeing Radharani and Krishna in the center, but oh yeah, that's how it should be. She should be, Radharani and Krishna should be in the center because she is the greatest lover of Krishna. And then everybody felt complete, full bliss and happiness. And Krishna's Maharas wasn't interfered with. There was no bad vibration there, or an envious, jealous vibrations from anyone else. So this is how Srimati Radharani is, as the supreme pleasure potency of Krishna's work. She's only interested in Krishna's pleasure, nothing else. So she's expressing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressing Srimati Radharani's mood in the Shikshastikam prayers that Krishna is the only object of my love and service. And when he embraces me, that is my perfection. But sometimes he doesn't embrace me. He may, He may make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. But anyway, he's always my Lord, unconditionally. So, she says that Sri Krishna, he sometimes manifests my good fortune by being with me and embracing me. But sometimes he makes me angry. Right in front of me, he may behave with another gopi girl very freely. And he sees me, I get angry and I get jealous and I'm crying. And somehow or another he gets some pleasure from this. It appears he gets some pleasure to see me in this distressed condition. But when I think, oh, my Krishna gets pleasure from my distress, then that distress becomes my greatest happiness because it's bringing Krishna pleasure. So this is the selfless love that Srimad Radharani has exhibited. I do not care for my own personal happiness. My happiness is only in Sri Krishna's happiness. So, so Krishnadas Kaviraj is pointing out is of all the gopis, she possesses all the good qualities, and so Krishna he cannot. He cannot be actually without Srimati Radharani. So he is. This chapter is called The Confidential Reason of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Appearance. It's very confidential. Usually we don't speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Tamrita in them. Generally we recite Bhagavatam, right? Even sometimes Prabhupada said the third canto is enough. In Mayapur sometimes. Now they go through to the, at least to the 10th canto. But I remember we used to go up to the 3rd canto and then stop and go back again because Prabhupada said everything is in my first 3 cantos. But anyway, at least the Srimad Bhagavatam is read. Generally the Chaitanya Tamrita is not read. It's very, very confidential. Anyway, this is a program we have here in Bhaktivedanta Manaya. All of these Srimati Radharani and Ashakis, they all have this sentiment. They're pleasure giving poems. They want to please Krishna. Now, as Krishna Das Kaviraj is saying, there's no trace of lust there. It looks like lust. But it gives a comparison of iron and gold from the viewpoint of metallurgy. They're both metals, but there's a big difference between gold and iron. So it appears almost like it's lust, but because it's a transcendental loving affair, it's like gold. So the gopis say that when Krishna, he sometimes calls us, he plays his flute and calls us, we hear him coming. And we decorate ourselves very beautifully. Put our best clothes on. We make ourselves look very nice with all the decorations and hair. And we make ourselves very, very beautiful because we understand that Krishna, he likes to see beautiful girls. So we're dressing ourselves simply for Krishna's pleasure. This is not for our pleasure. We dress and decorate ourselves simply for Krishna's pleasure. And so when we go and see Krishna, he gets great pleasure from it. That's his business, his main business. His Rasaraj. He takes pleasure in all these beautiful young girls. But they're saying these decorations are not for us, they're for Krishna because he likes that. Now when we're giving Krishna pleasure by dressing and presenting ourselves before Krishna like this, we also feel pleasure. But they say, what is the harm? We're feeling great bliss, but that's not why we're going to Krishna. We're going for his pleasure. But if we feel great bliss and pleasure in giving Krishna pleasure, what is the harm? Generally, for conditioned souls, they're performing activities for their pleasure. They make themselves beautiful for their pleasure. Because they want to enjoy. But here is completely the opposite. They're simply thinking of Krishna's enjoyment. But naturally they enjoy with Krishna. But they're saying, what is the harm here? It's not although we're going for our enjoyment, we're bringing Krishna pleasure, and automatically the pleasure comes. So the Brahma Samhita describes like the reflection of a mirror. If you make yourself beautiful in the mirror, then automatically the reflection will become beautiful. So we are like reflections. The gopis are like reflections of Krishna. So the more they want to satisfy Krishna, the more the reflection becomes beautiful. So in this way, they're enjoying equally with Krishna. But that's not their intention. Their intention is Krishna's satisfaction. So this is the wonderful thing of pure devotional service, that everybody gets the greatest happiness. Prabhupada said that everybody is seeking happiness, the karma is seeking happiness. The jnanis also seek happiness, they want happiness. They're frustrated in their material attempts to be happy. So they say, okay, let me try to understand Brahman. What is Brahman? Because Brahman is unlimited. It's ananda, unlimited ananda. So I'm trying to enjoy a little bit in the material world, and I can only enjoy a little bit of relationship is here, and then ultimately it's finished and I'm frustrated. So let me enjoy unlimitedly. So this is the conception of the jnanis. They want to understand Brahman because it's unlimited and it's blissful. So that, they want to enjoy unlimitedly, but still they're taking the same conception, my pleasure, I want to enjoy unlimitedly. So it's still more or less a material conception of being the enjoyer. In the path of bhakti, in the pure devotional service, here we see that they don't want anything for their own enjoyment. They simply want Krishna's enjoyment. And by that, they're enjoying equally with Krishna. Prabhupada says they're prakriti, they're feminine. Krishna is masculine. He's the Purusha Adi Purusha. And the gopis are prakriti, they're feminine. So generally, the Purusha is the enjoyer. And the prakriti is the enjoyed. So their prakriti, they go to Krishna for Krishna's enjoyment, but they also enjoy equally with Krishna. So if you want pleasure, why not get, you can enjoy equally with God. You can enjoy equally with God. And Prabhupada gives the example that when there is the prakriti and the purusha are united, you don't say that one is enjoying more than the other. In that conception, they're both enjoying equally. So Prabhupada said, if enjoyment's the goal of life, then the pleasure is the goal of life. That's the purpose of life. God is one and he becomes many. Why? For his pleasure. So here the gopis and the inhabitants of Vrindavan know to the highest extent of, you know, how to bring Krishna pleasure. And when they're bringing Krishna pleasure by doing everything for his satisfaction, they enjoy equally with Krishna. They're sharing that pleasure equally with Krishna. So why bother with any other pleasure in the material world? If pleasure is the goal of life, then why not serve Krishna for his pleasure and enjoy equally with Krishna? So So this is the position of Srimati Radharani has been pointed out. And this is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. The confidential reasons he came to understand how the greatness of Srimati Radharani's love. How much love does she have me? What is it she's so attracted by me? What are my qualities that make her so attracted? What is her actual experience when she's actually loving me? Krishna says, I can't understand this. Yeah, that happened in when Narada Muni went to see Krishna in Dwarka. Just previously that Krishna had left these palaces in Vaikuntha. And he came into Rukmini's palace, and she was and her co-wives, some of her co-wives there, decorated the place beautifully. They swept the whole place expecting Krishna to come, and Krishna came in, and she very lovingly started to wash his lotus feet, and tears were coming from her eyes, and Krishna says, why are you crying? And she said, no, you won't be able to understand. You're still upset with me because I teased you that time, told you to marry Shishupala. No, it's not that. That Sudarshan says something to you? No, I didn't say anything. I didn't upset him. So why are you crying, Rukmini? And she said, you cannot understand why I'm crying. And he said, it's very astonishing. I thought I was God. I thought I understood everything. You're telling me there's something I don't understand. It's becoming even more mysterious now. Please tell me what this is. I thought I knew everything. And she says, no, this thing you do not know. Because I'm here now, and you put your beautiful lotus feet in my palace, and I'm washing your lotus feet. And this is the perfection of my life. But I know after some time also you're going to leave my palace. And just thinking of your lotus feet leaving this palace, you cannot understand what your devotees feel when they're remembering your lotus feet. And they have to leave these lotus, but you cannot experience this because you're never separated from your lotus feet. Your lotus feet are always on your legs. You're never separated. So we get separated, and we just cannot, you cannot understand our the love we have for your lotus feet, which is very astonishing. I didn't know that. I thought I knew everything. So then just Narada Muni also came at that time. And Narada Muni was also crying. He said, Narada, why are you crying? He said, well, I just come down back from the material world, and the Kali Yuga is going on, and it's so bad. And he said, I don't see any hope for their deliverance of Kali Yuga. He said, the prime symptom of Kali Yuga is that the men are controlled by the women. And women went to see the changing of the guards at Buckingham Palace. And so many guards were women. She was leading, they were leading actually. They have the horse parade, they come up to change the guards. The leader was a woman, she had a ponytail also. Let's get out the back with her. And all the other horses were coming in formation behind. And then we saw the ones at the gate. And another one was a woman. There's a man and a woman. I didn't know that before. Anyway, she was leading the men. And someone said, someone said, you were speaking like that the other day, how the women lead the men in Kali Yuga. Here we can see it practically happening. So, so then Krishna said, yeah, actually there is no hope for those living entities of Kali Yuga. I can understand why you're crying, Narada, because there is no hope for those living entities of Kali Yuga, because nothing works in Kali Yuga. the process of karma doesn't work, the process of jnana doesn't work, the process of yoga doesn't work, the process of vanashram doesn't work, the process of meditation. Nothing works in Kali. There's nothing powerful enough, a process in Kali Yuga to counteract the age of Kali. It just doesn't work. There's only one thing that can counteract the age of Kali. He said, that's me. If I come, I can do it. But actually, there's no other process can do anything against the very strong age of Kali. And so I will come. And you know what else, Narada? I've just heard something wonderful from Rukmini told me something that I never heard before. So I want to simultaneously I'll come in the form of my own holy name as the deliverance of the living entities of Kali Yuga. Because soon it's time for my incarnation, so I will come in the form of my own holy name. And together with all my devotees, we will smash the poisonous fangs of Kali. She will not be able to tolerate the Sankirtan mission of my holy names when we begin. So I'll establish the Yuga Dharma. Simultaneously, I have a very selfish desire. I want to understand what my devotees. And Rukmini told, especially Srimati Radharani's love for you, that's very difficult. You cannot understand the depth of that. So Krishna says, I'm very anxious to taste what my devotees do. This is my own selfish desire. I'm coming to spread the Yuga Dharma to save others, but my own selfish desire simultaneously, I'll fulfill that by taking on the mood and sentiment of my greatest devotee, Srimati Radharani, to understand what is that attraction and love they have for me. So this was the confidential reasons for Krishna's appearance, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. confidential, but still Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give it even to the living entities of Kali Yuga. Therefore, Mahabharanaya, Namo Mahabharanaya. No one is more merciful than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is not available other times. So he's kindly made this whole process available of how to develop this pure unalloyed loving devotional service. Unalloyed. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gopalananda ki jai. The unalloyed love that goes on in Braja with Sri Krishna and his devotees there. So that has to be adopted by anyone who wants to go back to Braja. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it available. He's made it available. Otherwise, it's very, very rare. It's just practically it's unavailable. And also, it's only for a few short years in Kali Yuga. When Krishna appears, and then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, like for 10,000 years. Otherwise, it's completely unavailable. So, we get information of how we can actually attain to this unalloyed, pure devotion that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, and all of our acharyas. And Srila Prabhupada also. He wants us to attain this wonderful state. Of course, every individual has a choice. He can choose wherever he wants to go, whether he wants to go to Braja, whether he wants to go to Vaikuntha, whether he wants to go to... And Krishna certainly won't interfere with his desire. But you have to have a desire to go there. And depending on how you approach and who you worship, because who you worship will determine what goal you will get. If you worship different objects, then there will be different goals, obviously. So Mahaprabhu was teaching us our goal is Radha and Krishna, and how we can actually worship Radha and Krishna, how we can actually approach Radha and Krishna. So this is the mercy that's being bestowed. We see in the Navadvipa Avataranga, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is he's giving his own example as an acharya. That he's performing the prikram and everything is being revealed to him in Navadvip. The glory of the Dham is being revealed, and you know he goes to Nrisingapalli and Lord, he sees Lord Nrisingadeva appears before him and puts his lotus feet on his head and says, be peaceful my child. He gives him abhaya. Be peaceful my child, you stay here in Navadvip Dham, chant the holy names and worship Radha and Krishna, and very soon, by the mercy of my devotees, you will attain all perfection. So here is, Lord Nrisingadeva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he says, by the mercy of my devotees, he could give his mercy, but by the mercy of my devotees, you will attain all perfection. So like this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is meeting all the eternal residents of the Dharma and different personalities. Lord Ramchandra is there. So he's begging for mercy. He's showing us how to perform the Navadvip Prakram and begging for the mercy of all the different Vaishnavas and all the devotees there and the dust of the Dham and all the trees and Parodamaya, the presiding goddess of Navadvip, Yogamaya Devi. And so he's just begging their mercy and then moving around in a humble state of mind and simply begging the mercy of all the devotees to show how we should actually perform the prakram. Anyway, finally he comes to Rudradvip, which is where the Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir is, in the island of friendship. And Rudradvip is named after Lord Shiva, so then he meets Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is doing this astonishing dance. Boom, 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 boom. Jaya Sachinandan, Jaya Sachinandan. Boom, boom. Jaya Sachinandan. Give mercy to all living entities. Jaya Sachinandan. He's doing an ecstatic dance. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur falls at his feet and asks him for mercy. And then Lord Shiva says, yes, by my mercy, Maya will retreat. Maya will retreat and you will have your perfection. So Lord Shiva is the husband of Maya, so he can order her around. Nobody else can order Maya. By my order, she will retreat. The island of friendship. What better friend could you have if someone said to you, okay, Maya, go away from him. The greatest friend. Vaishnava Jataha Shambhu. So, by the mercy of a Vaishnava, Lord Nrisingadeva said, by the mercy of my devotees. So finally he gets the mercy of Lord Shiva. And then he says, you go over that place, Paulina, on the bank of Navadvip side, where the bank of the Jamuna is flowing there. The Ganga and Jamuna flow together in Navadvip. And on the western bank is the Jamuna. On the eastern bank is Mayapur. So the area of where on the western bank, that is Paulina, or the area of the Rasa dance, the Rasarina. So Lord Shiva says, you see, go that side. So he looks, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then he actually sees the Maharas is going on, Radha and Krishna in the center, and billions of gopis and Krishna's dancing. So he falls unconscious on the ground. And then he wakes up and he's got a completely new body, transformed. He's got a Manjari body. Oh, that's right. It's Kamala Manjari. And then he sees Ananga Manjari is by his side. Ananga Manjari is his guru. And she starts to explain the glories of Navadvip and introduce, showing the different places and of the Dham and the glories of Navadvip Dham. So Prabhupada was, Bhakti Srimad Maharaj once asked Prabhupada, what about, you know, talking about getting your siddha deha, siddha sroop, your spiritual body? Prabhupada said, I will tell you everything when you're ready, you don't have to worry. So here we see that example in Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He woke up and his actual guru was there in as an Anga Manjari, who is a partial expansion of, or Janabi Devi and Vasudha, the wives of Nityananda Prabhu. They're said to be expansions of Ananga Manjari, who's Nityananda's potency in Krishna Leela. In the conjugal Leela, Nityananda's there as Ananga Manjari, who's the younger sister of Srimata Radharani. So Janabi and Vasudha, partial expansions, I think, of Ananga Manjari. And you see at the end of, in the Navadvipa Mahapanya, after every chapter, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he's offering his respects to his gurus, my gurus, Nityananda and Janabi Devi, every chapter. And he says, they have ordered me to write this book. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed that everything by the grace of Nityananda and Janabi Devi. We had that, all that information of Navadvipa Dhamma. But he says repeatedly after every chapter, my guru, as he calls him, my guru. So Nityananda and Janabi Devi are his gurus, and Janabi is the expansion of Ananga Manjari. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he took initiation from Bipin Bihari Gosai, who is from Nityananda Vamsa. Some Vaishnavas say he took initiation in that sampradaya to purify it, because they started to go off a little bit. And although they're coming in a bona fide line, there was a little bit off, and there was some philosophical things that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wasn't in complete agreement with. But anyway, he took initiation in that line, Nityananda Vamsa from Bipin Gosai, Bipin Bihari Gosai, out of chastity. Because as he keeps saying in the Navadvipa Dhamma, that Nityananda and Janabi are my gurus. So out of chastity to his own guru, and the Nityananda, he took initiation in the Nityananda Vamsa, or the Nityananda lineage. But we ultimately understand that he took shiksha from Jagannath Das Babaji, and we're following the line of from Jagannath Das Babaji. Anyway, his guru was revealed to him as Ananga Manjari, and so she blessed him with the understanding of the Navadvipa Dhamma. Then she takes him to meet Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami. And because we are Rupanugas, so she says to Rupa Manjari that here is a newcomer to Braja. He's a great devotee of Gauranga. So please bless him. Please give him, enthuse him with the proper sentiments of approaching Radha and Krishna. So then Rupa Manjari imparts that sentiment of service to Radha and Krishna. So this is the how personal our movement is. It's not just me and Krishna, me and my devotion to Krishna. If we're coming in this line, then we are Rupa Nugas. You have to have that sentiment of Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari, to approach Radha and Krishna. He is a confidential assistant of Lalita Mishakra and Radha and Krishna. So you have to have the proper sentiment to get there, and she is the possessor of that particular sentiment. So you personally have to get it from her. So everybody has to go through that and attain her blessings to get the proper sentiment to actually to be able to approach and serve Radha and Krishna. So this is how personal our movement is. It's not No, just my devotion in Krishna. No. But not only Rupa Manjari, it doesn't stop. Then she takes him to meet Lalita and Vishakha. And they also give their blessings. So in this way we get the blessings from the eternal and the Nityasiddhas who know, had that proper sentiment of service attitude to Radha and Krishna, which Radharani is exhibiting in these verses in the Chaitanya-caritamrita. So it's not although we can just suddenly enter into a relationship with Krishna, and we may, but it may be in Vaikuntha or something. But if we want to serve Radha and Krishna in Braja, which Mahaprabhu has come to give, then we personally have to get the touch and blessings from all these personalities. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was showing that. Personally, get the blessing, and they infuse you with the proper sentiment. So this is the glory of the Sampradaya that Srila Prabhupada is representing, and he's so kindly given us this understanding that we can go back to that supreme abode of Krishna in Braja, where we can perform unalloyed pure devotional service. This is the place where unalloyed pure devotional service goes on. In the other places, pure devotional service is going on, but in Goloka, it's pure unalloyed devotional service. So Mahaprabhu came to taste that, what these devotees are tasting. The pure devotees are rendering unalloyed devotion, so specifically Srimati Radha. And simultaneously he's distributing it, he's giving us an opportunity also to understand what is that proper the service attitude and sentiment of Raja. Shri Chaitanya Charmita Ki Shri Radha Gokulananda Juki Shri Prabhupada Ki.